The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board in the Toronto GTA area of Southern Ontario, Canada, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. I want to declare to you tonight on this beautiful Sunday, August 2nd, that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, whatever you're going through, God is not your problem. Glory to God. He is your answer. And the Lord is on your side. I'm telling you right now, I know some of you are going through tests and trials and difficulties of, you know, astronomical proportion. Some life-changing circumstances are in your life. But I want you to know that God is not your problem. He's on your side. He is your answer. I was having some technical difficulties tonight, so let me know in the message here on Facebook if you could hear me okay, because you're not hearing me through the normal way that you would hear me, but let me know if you can hear me okay. I want to say hello to Joan and Veronica and Yulette and Wendy and my wife, hallelujah, who's in the other room, Susan. And Joan, and we got all kinds of folks listening. I encourage you to go ahead and share us on Facebook and let folks know. Start a watch party. My wife says the volume's fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I'm just excited. We're doing so well trusting Jesus. And not all the time does it feel well, but he's always with us. He's always on our side. And your circumstances will change. I was talking to one of our members who's probably listening right now, and she got a miracle a couple months ago in her eye, and it was a very negative prognosis and situation with her eye, and she got a miracle. God totally turned it around. They went back in, couldn't find any of the problem. I think it was glaucoma, or can't remember exactly what it was, but there was something going on that was very serious, and God healed her. And then for the last couple months, she's had this pain in her side, and she went to the physician. They did some ultrasounds, and they found that there was water on her kidney. She said, no, I'm not going to receive that. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And she talked the doctor into doing another ultrasound, and the next ultrasound showed that every bit of water was gone, and her kidney was perfectly normal. But she said, but Pastor, I'm still having pain in my side. Well, I said, believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm talking to her on the telephone. She put her hand on her side. We prayed, commanded that thing to go in the name of Jesus. And I said, goodbye. Have a good day. She called me back within 5 minutes and said, Pastor, she said, I feel like I'm light. I feel like I'm I'm lifted up, and all the pain is gone. And that just happened a couple days ago, and I checked on her today, and I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "Well, it was gone for that entire day, and then it came back the next day." Well, that's just how the enemy works. That's why the Bible says that we have to resist him steadfast in the faith. So we have to continue to stand and use our faith and believe God, because God's promises, every one of them is yes and amen. Remember, God is your answer. Whatever you're going through, he is your answer. And who is God? He is his word. The psalmist said that God has exalted the word above his own name. I want to give that to you real quick. He's exalted his name above his own word. That is in Psalms 138, verse 2. And the Amplified Bible says, "For you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name." Well, if you honor God and you love God, then that means that we need to honor his word above all else. If God has honored his word above his own authority and character, that's what the word name means in the Hebrew and in the Greek, that God has exalted his word above his own authority and his own character. That means that God honors his word no matter what. And if we love God, if we say we love God, if we say that Jesus is our Lord, Jesus is the word of God. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. All things that were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus Christ. And so if we say we love Jesus, then we love his word, because Jesus is his word, which means that we are going to exalt his word above everything. Now, you know, when it comes to other people's decisions, you can't control that. You can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. You know, like Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, "Work out your own salvation." The word salvation in the Greek is soteria. It means your own deliverance, your own healing, your own mind, your own welfare. He said, "Work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God who both worketh and do his will inside you." Well, how do you do that? That means you lay hold on God's word and you choose to do his word over everything else. Man, I could go in a lot of directions right now. We need to pray. I really want to hear from you tonight. If you're going through something, let me join my faith with you. Maybe you need a miracle in your body. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage. Maybe you need a miracle in your finances. Maybe you just need to overcome stress or overcome depression. The Bible says that Jesus overcame everything, and that through him, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors in Christ. And so if two of us agree on earth about anything that's touching that we ask, it shall be done. If you need someone to stand with you, that's why we're here. We're here to stand with you, not just me, but all of us together. We had over 4,000. We broke the 4,000 mark this week, Gary.
I saw that. It was wonderful.
I know. So I'm excited. We keep increasing. It's not a lot at a time, but you know, in a year and a half, we went from 400 to 4,000. And we're going to keep growing and keep expanding, because this word must be preached as a sign, praise God, and then shall the end come. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't looked around recently, Jesus is coming soon. We had a great service today at church, and I ministered on the subject of what is the rapture. I want to get into a lot of stuff tonight, but I want to help you. If you need help, man, I want to help you. I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you. I want to give you the word regarding whatever you're going through. So you can email us tonight. Go ahead and give them the email. I just lost it.
So you can email us, folks, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com.
That's right. Or you're more than welcome to call us toll free at 866-905-REAL anywhere in the world. And we're getting folks all the time listening from all over the world, which is so exciting that we are going into all the world. This past week, we had people in Denmark. In what is Fuji? Does that mean Fiji, or is there another island called Fuji?
It's Fiji or Fuji. Some people pronounce it both ways.
Thing,
it's the same thing, correct.
My wife has been to Fiji. I've never known it any other way than Fiji. Haiti, Israel, shalom, praise God. Jamaica, we have wonderful friends in Jamaica. My wife just mentioned, well, we may not be able to go anywhere like Africa, but maybe we can go to Jamaica. I said, yeah, baby, now you're talking. Praise the Lord. Mexico, Norway, Russia, Spain, Turkey, and then, of course, the United States and Canada. And like I always like to point out, we always have more listeners from Canada, and that's where we are called. Most of you probably know this, but my wife and I are American. We're from the United States. We've been here in Canada for 10 years, serving the Lord, pastoring Word of Faith Church in Toronto. And a year and a half ago, we became Canadians. And so we're now tri-citizens. We have tri-citizenship. First of all, our citizenship is in heaven. And then we're Canadians. And then we're also Americans, praise God. But most importantly, we belong to Jesus. And that's where our citizenship is. And very soon, we're all going to be with him. This is a time to not fall out. This is a time to be ready, because our redemption is getting closer and closer and closer. Jesus is coming. Praise God. And I want to talk about that tonight. But let's pray before we go any further. Once again, email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to join my faith with you. Love to pray with you tonight. That's why we are here. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that there's no distance in the Spirit, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. And I pray for this listening audience right now, every person who's going through a test and a trial, Lord, you're with them. You're touched with the feelings of their infirmities. You know the heartache. You know the heaviness. You know the fear. You know the anxiety that's trying to work on them. And Father, I pray right now that they would be delivered in the middle of this situation, that you would equip them for the battle, that you would give them peace, that you would give them joy. All of us are joining our faith together right now that you are with them, that even like you were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that you are with your children, that you will not leave them. You will not forsake them. You are there to help them and strengthen them and equip them and bring them through with victory. Thank you, Lord, that a closed door means there's a better open door, and that you are providing everything that they need. Thank you, Father, for your blessing upon this audience. We give you praise and glory for this radio show tonight. Take us in the way that you would have us to go. Let every question be answered. Thank you for moving by your Spirit. We know there's no distance in the Spirit. Let your presence, let your power, your anointing come upon every listener in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement shouted amen. That means you too, Gary.
Amen.
Amen. You know what amen means?
And it is so.
It means so be it. That's so right. So be it. That's very good. Praise God. All right. Let's get into the word tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and read our text, chapter 4. Praise God. I'm excited. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to serve the Lord. My grandmother, my mom's mom, she would always say, thank God for God. And there's a lot of things, there's a lot of truth in that prayer. Praise God. Thank God for God. Where would we be without God? I don't even want to think about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read our text. And it says in verse 13, I'm almost there. It says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I'm reading from the King James. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. That's not going to be very long. Jesus is coming. I will not be surprised if he comes in a very short while. I'm firmly convinced that as the season approaches, we will know much clearer that the time is upon us, and that anyone that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, that day is not going to cause you to be caught off guard. And the scripture really tells us, let's take a look at it in a second. Before we go there, though, I want to read verse 17, because I know that many of you that are listening tonight are going through some tests and trials and some difficulties. And the way that we go through with victory, the way that we overcome, is by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death, Revelation chapter 12. Well, the way that we do that is by faith. And four times the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. If you flip the chapter here to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, and in verse 7, you'll find it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11, 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, there are some very, very bad teaching out there where people will try to make you feel bad if you want to get something from God, if you want to receive something good from God. It really is an oxymoron, because if you don't want to receive something good from God, why do you pray? Because the Bible says that when you pray, believe that you receive. Receive what? Receive something good. Receive an answer to your prayer. And yet they'll make you feel guilty that you want to serve God because he's good, or because he's going to do good things for you. That's just stupid. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you got to believe he is God, and you got to believe he'll reward you. That's Hebrews 11, 6, plain and simple. He that comes to God must believe he's God and that he's a rewarder. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. He came to give us a good life. That's what he wants us to have. So to feel guilty in thinking that I shouldn't want to get anything from God, I should just, you know, serve him without any expectation, is absolutely not what the scriptures teach. Now, we shouldn't do good just to get, but we should do good knowing that when we do good, we are going to get. I don't know if you caught that. See, the difference is that when you do it from the perspective of only wanting to gratify yourself, that is selfishness and that is greed. But when you do it from the attitude of faith, especially when it comes to helping others, you do it because of the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That love compels you to do good for others. But then we also do it with the understanding that God shall not be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Where people get confused is they don't rightly divide the word of God. They take one scripture, but they don't have enough understanding yet. And so they confuse it by not knowing what another scripture says. You cannot take one verse and create a doctrine. You have to rightly divide the word of truth, which means that doctrine or a way of thinking scripturally has to be built line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You have to have the full counsel of God. You say, well, no man can know the full counsel of God. Says who? The Bible says that he wants you to know what is the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. He wants you to walk in full understanding. Proverbs chapter 4 says, get wisdom. And with all of your getting, get an understanding. He wants us to fully understand him. And then he says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of you. He wants you to know his heart. He wants you to know his mind. He wants you to know what he's thinking. The Bible says, can anyone know the mind of Christ? Well, not without the Spirit of Christ. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus said, I have freely told you and given you all things. He said, I have called you friends, for I have not kept anything back from you. Jesus is not trying to keep us in darkness or keep us in ignorance. Jesus is light, and he came to give us light. And he said that if we abide in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is no darkness and God at all. And we're supposed to walk in the light. Well, walking in the light means we're walking in the Word. And when you walk in the Word, you know which way you're going. And when you walk in the Word, you'll get more understanding and begin to see things clearly. I remember when I was much younger in the Lord, people would teach me something, or I would read in one of my commentaries or in one of the Bibles, and I'd say, well, I don't agree with that. And then later on, after I got more understanding, I'd find out, well, I was wrong and they were right. Praise God. Don't throw out spiritual truth until you have fully studied it out, because it may be that you're wrong. See, spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And many times why people are confused is they're trying to discern spiritual things with their natural understanding. Now, there are things that I'm hearing these days that I'm absolutely throwing it out as garbage. For example, there's preachers, and I heard one today saying that this vaccine that's going to come out for COVID-19, that there's going to be the mark of the beast inside the vaccine, and it's going to have 666 in there. And I'm not taking the vaccine, because if I take the vaccine, I'm taking the mark of the beast and I'll be damned to hell forever. Man, can I help you out? That's called the spirit of stupid. That is absolutely wrong. It's a conspiracy theory, and it ain't right. God wants you well. He doesn't want you sick. And vaccines are not to make you sick. They're to keep you healthy. They take the dead virus. They put it in your body. It causes your immune system to respond. Your immune system then builds up antibodies. And if you ever get hit with that virus, your body now is equipped to defend you from COVID-19. It's the same thing with influenza, with polio, with tetanus, whatever vaccine you get. So to say that they're going to sneak something in there, listen, if they did, it won't affect you, because Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. If you eat any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Go over there real quickly for me, will you? Go to Mark 16, and let's look at this real quick, because believers do not need to be afraid. And these stupid conspiracy theories that are being fueled, I hate to be judgmental, but I won't call them stupid. I'll call them ignorant. But being fueled by, you got to watch out for that dark web. You got to watch out for what's on the internet. The internet, man, will jack you up. It's so full of darkness. It's not called the dark web by accident. And there's so much garbage out there. I mean, Brother Hagin used to say you got to chew the hay and spit the sticks. Man, it ain't even hay. It's manure. It's poop. And if you eat that poop, man, you're going to get bacteria in your body that you shouldn't get. You need to stay away from that junk on these social media places, and don't be afraid of it. But the moment you click on it and the Spirit of God says that's garbage, you need to turn it off, because what Satan will try to do is lure you in and entice you through these fear conspiracies and through people that call themselves pastors. You know, Brother Hagin used to say some of these people that have PhDs, that PhD might as well stand for post hole digger, because that PhD, they're nothing but a bunch of confused people. Praise God. I was talking to my buddy the other day, and he was saying how important it is to be scholarly. And I said, yeah, you're right. But I said, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to have a relationship with Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and be a lover of the Word of God. And when you're a lover of the Word of God, and you've got that Word of God in you, God's going to keep you. And the example I used was Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer had a high school education, and yet this mighty woman of God being used all over the world has sound doctrine, praise God, and she's got a multi-million person audience receiving the Word of God through her and being set free and being helped every single day. And there's a lot more examples of people that do not have master's degrees and PhDs. Sometimes the education can make things worse. What's going to please God is not your PhD. What's going to please God is your faith. Hey, hallelujah. I told you to go to Mark 16. Notice verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believeth is not past tense. Believeth is present tense. Believeth means that you are a believer. If you're a believer, it means you're believing. So being a believer in the past tense will not cause you to be saved. You must be a believing believer. So you may have married somebody who was a believer, but is no longer a believing believer. And now you have problems because faith is not working. Faith is required for victory. Faith is required for peace. Faith is required for joy. Faith is required to overcome. And so sometimes people are having problems is because they did believe, but they stopped believing. Don't stop believing. Trust God. And notice these simple verses here. He says, he that believes will be saved, and these signs, verse 17, shall follow them that believe. Not did believe, do believe. If you believe in my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents. And if you drink or get injected with any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. So if you get that vaccine, take it in faith. If the Lord says don't take it, don't take it. But when you take it in faith, and if there's something in it that's going to harm you, the scripture says, because you're a believer, he says, if you drink or receive, let's see what that word drink means real quick in the Greek. I got a lot of emails coming in. If you want to email us tonight, if you have a Bible question or a praise report, email us at instudio101@gmail.com. Mark 16 and verse 17. Let me pull the Greek word out here for drink. Oh, man, I saw some great things in the Greek today. I'm going to show you here in a minute. We're going to go to Thessalonians. They shall take up serpents if they drink any deadly thing. The word drink here is pino. And let's see, pino in the Greek means, sorry, I lost my place. These signs shall follow, cast out devils, they drink. Drink pino means to receive into your soul or into your body for refreshment or nourishment. So that's interesting. So it's not just physical. So drink, I would certainly include an injection. I would certainly include a bee sting. I would include something that penetrates and gets inside your system. He says if that happens, and we know that he also says if you take up serpents or snakes, that they won't harm you. And so what does a snake have? Well, a snake has, a deadly snake like the one that bit Paul. It has hypodermic needles inside its mouth. Those fangs are little hypodermic needles. And inside the middle of those fangs is a gland or an ability to inject with poison. And behind those fangs are little pouches that have venom inside of it. And so that venom, it sometimes contains neurotoxins or it contains a certain material, I forget the word at the moment, but it will cause necrosis to your tissues. And so it's injected inside your tissues. If the fang hits where you have a vein or even an artery, then you'll get directly injected into your heart because it'll go right to your heart. Well, he says if that happens, it will not harm you. And we know that venomous snake in Acts 26, I believe it is, that when it grabbed onto Paul, the Bible says it fastened onto him and it wouldn't let go, which means what? It emptied all of its venom from its glands into Paul. And all the men stood there and they said, man, this man's getting judged. He didn't die in that shipwreck. So now he's going to die by a snake. And when it should have affected him and he should have died, he didn't. And what happened? They thought that he was a god. And then they ended up taking him back to the chief's house. And then Paul, by the name of Jesus, healed the chief's father. And they received him. And that tribe received Jesus through these signs that followed the believer, Paul. And so if you get it, if you feel that, and I do, man, at this point right now, I will absolutely get the vaccine. I have no problem getting the vaccine. And I'm absolutely not afraid. For you to take the mark of the beast, you have to know what you're doing. Understand this. Let's flip over for just a moment to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, because this question comes up a lot of times and people say, well, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I think I've done the sin that God is never going to forgive me, and I'm damned to hell. Absolutely not. If you think you committed the unpardonable sin, you didn't commit it. Because the unpardonable sin is something that has to be done through understanding, cognition. You got to know what you're doing in order to commit it. And we see this in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and verse 4. And it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, in other words, they've been illuminated, they know that God is real, they've seen, and they've tasted of the heavenly gift, they've been born again, they were partakers of the Holy Ghost, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they've tasted of the good word of God. The word is logos, which means faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. They've grown up and become mature in things of God. They've tasted of the powers of the works to come. They've operated in the gifts of the Spirit. The word powers here is dunamis. Verse 6, if these people, they know God is real, they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, they're mature, they have operated in the gifts of the Spirit, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now notice, it said it's impossible to renew them to repentance. It doesn't mean that God won't forgive them. It means they won't repent. And there's no repentance without asking God to forgive you, without making a turn. They won't turn back to God. And so therefore, there is no repentance, not because it's God's choice. I love what Keith Moore said a long time ago. He was talking about why bad things happen to good people. And he was talking about how is it that someone could end up going to hell for all eternity. And he said he didn't hear an audible voice, but it was like the Lord said to him regarding people that go to hell for eternity. And the Lord just rose up in his spirit and said, it's not my choice. And understand, it's not God's choice for anyone to go to hell. It's not God's choice for anyone to perish. And if you get an injection with a vaccine, and if it was even possible that there could be some mark of the beast in there, which I don't believe it's even possible, it wouldn't affect you because you're a believer. You do not need to live your life in fear. And if something bad were to happen, and I think so many of us on this radio show tonight could testify about how something bad was going to happen, but it didn't happen. Why? Because you're a believer. And when you're a believer, the Bible says in Psalm 91 that God gives his angels charge over you to protect you and to keep you. Verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, who is the one that dwells in the secret place? It's the one that walks by faith. How do we know that? Well, verse 2 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Well, the spirit of faith. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. The person that's abiding in the shadow of the Most High, the person who is in the secret place, is the person who's walking by faith and speaking the word of God. I want to go back for a moment to our text in 2 Corinthians, because we really didn't finish it. I really wanted to read verse 18. And, you know, it's really on my heart tonight, the folks that are going through tests and trials. And how do we go through these things with victory? How do we come out on the other side with our prayers answered and God turning our sorrow into joy? Well, he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, once again, verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Believers are not to focus on what you see. Are you listening? Come on, tune back in now. Don't go by what you see. That's not walking by faith. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. What? How can you look at something that you can't see? Is that possible? Well, according to the Bible, it is. He says, as believers, we don't look at what we see. For the things which you see are temporal. Temporal means subject to change. It might look tangible now. It might feel real, but it ain't real. What's real is the word of God. He says, we don't look at what's temporal. We look at the things which are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle from the word will pass away until everything be fulfilled. So don't be moved by what you see, and don't be moved by what you feel. I like this little saying: if you praise, you will be raised. If you complain, you will remain. You got to shake that stuff off of you. You got to shake off the circumstances, shake off the trial, and get your eyes back on Jesus. That's why Peter began to sink, because he got his eyes off Jesus and he got his eyes on the storm. Get your eyes off the storm, get your eyes off the problem, get your eyes off the circumstance, and focus back on the master, and the master will take you right through. Praise God. All right, let's get to some emails, Gary. We got a whole bunch of them. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email us instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time listener, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know when you're writing in, where you're writing from. As I always say, and I love it, that we got people from all over the world listening. And, you know, that's one of the greatest blessings of pastoring here in Toronto, is in our church, which is not a humongous church, we have something like 32 nations represented in our church. Folks from Nigeria, folks from Jamaica, from Trinidad, from Dominica, from where's Tracy from in Africa? She's probably listening right now. She'd be mad at me. Where? Zimbabwe. We have folks from all over the world. Brussels, Congo, all over the place. And what a blessing. Praise the Lord. And I believe that's a bit what heaven's going to look like, because every nation is hearing the gospel. And wherever you're from, when you're born again and you're in Christ, your background was from that nation, but now we are all one body. Praise God. All right, let's start tonight. We've got an email here from our friend Stan. Stan says, hello, Pastor. You sound excellent on the radio. Praise God. Love your show. Thank you for it, Stan. Great to hear from you, Stan. God bless you. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Michael. Michael says, hello, Spirit of Faith. I'm a new listener from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Man, I'd love to go up there. I'd love to get in the car and go up to PEI. And I hear it's just absolutely beautiful. Our next door neighbors, her parents are from Prince Edward Island. That's where she grew up. And I just hear it's so beautiful, especially this time of year. Michael says, a friend of mine told me about your radio show, and I thought that I would check it out. Thank you for it, Michael. So good to hear from you, Michael. We call you blessed, and you're now a part of our Spirit of Faith radio family. Glad to hear from you. Irene says, good evening. I am hoping that our Lord is blessing everyone on the show and keeping them healthy from this virus. Let's pray that we will not have a very serious second wave of this. Thank you, Irene. We totally agree. Let's release our faith right now. Father, we bless Canada right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over this great nation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your protection in Canada. And we call this COVID-19 cursed, and that it will not reoccur. It will not grow. It will not jump the border. But Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for this COVID being totally wiped out 100%. In Jesus' authority. Amen. And everybody in agreement, all 4,000 plus of you shouted amen.
Amen.
Oh, Gary, you're on top of it now. He's like, man, shame me once, but not twice. Thank you, Lord. Alice writes tonight and says, hello, Pastor. Do you think Jesus is returning soon? I think he is. A lot of signs are here. They are coming gradually, but they are coming. Just look at the world. Absolutely, Alice. I actually did a survey a few days ago on my Facebook page. By the way, you can follow me on Facebook. We don't have a Spirit of Faith Facebook page yet, and I need to do that. Maybe I'll work on that this week. But you can find me on my personal one. You can follow me there, and I'll even friend you. But certainly you can just follow me if you want to. It's John Ward. So it's Facebook and JOHNWARD. And of course, I'm in Toronto. You should be able to find me pretty easily. And you can also find me through our church, which is Word of Faith Toronto. That's Word of Faith Toronto. And we have our own Facebook page there. And all of our videos and all of our services are there. Well, I did a little survey on my personal email. I had about 100 and some comments, not email, personal Facebook. 100 and some comments, because I asked the question, when do you think the rapture will take place? And I said, A, 1 to 2 years, B, 3 to 5 years, C, 6 to 10 years, or D, 10 or more. And some people, the few people said they don't even believe in the rapture. I had one person ask me, what is the rapture? Not on there, but afterwards when I saw them, they said, I saw your post. What is the rapture? And so I began to explain. But the scripture clearly teaches that there is a rapture. And when we talk about Jesus returning soon, it is the rapture. There are two appearances of Jesus, one in the clouds and one on the earth. Now, I want you to write this down. Wordoffaithtoronto.com. Wordoffaithtoronto.com. Go there. Pull the message from today. I ministered on this subject called What is the Rapture? What is the rapture? Went through all of it, talked about the two comings of the Lord, went through scripture after scripture after scripture. You know how I do it. I'm not going to get you to trust what I think. I'm going to get you to trust what the Bible teaches. So we went through verse after verse after verse on what the rapture is and what Jesus said about the rapture, what Paul said about the rapture, and it's all there, and you can get it for free. And of course, I teach my congregation, for free means no excuse. So if you don't get it, that's your own business, because it's free. All you got to do is go on to wordoffaithtoronto.com. You can download it and listen to today's message for free. Praise God. But yes, I believe Jesus is coming. I believe he's coming soon. I will absolutely not. And I don't know if I've ever said this. I don't think I have. I would not be surprised if he returns this year. Now, there are some other events I believe have to happen, but they can happen in a very short time. I also believe that Jesus is going to return to fulfill the feast day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets. It's the next feast day to be fulfilled. And the scripture teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, that Jesus will return at the last trump and the voice of the archangel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58, he also says that he will return at the last trump. Well, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So there will be a shout, which means a command, and there will be a trumpet sound. And I showed the congregation the shofar today. So if you go on, you can even you can watch or listen to the service from today, and you'll see my shofar from the church that I actually bought in Israel a few years ago. Pastor, my wife and I, Cheryl and I, bought it in Israel. So yeah, he's coming very soon, and it's almost mind-boggling, Alice, that we are that generation that's going to see the return of the Lord. You talk about signs. There's so many signs. But the greatest sign that I believe is the sign of the fig tree. And Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, that when you see, he said, watch the fig tree. When you see the fig tree begin to blossom. Well, what happened? In 1948, Israel became a nation. Ezekiel 37, he said, Son of man, can these dry bones live? And he said, well, thou knowest. And then he said, prophesy to the dead bones. Well, the dead bones is Israel. They were dead for 2,000 years. Those dead bones came alive in 1948 when Israel became a nation under Ben-Gurion, which was an absolute miracle. And now Israel is 70 years old, one of the strongest nations, one of the smallest nations, one of the strongest nations in the world. And there's coming a time when every ally is going to turn away from Israel. Now, Israel doesn't have very many allies. UK, the United States of America, but there's going to be a day when every ally is going to turn away, including America. And I believe for that to happen, America is going to be taken out of the way, which brings you to a whole nother subject of what Mystery Babylon is, which America fits the description of Mystery Babylon. I'm sure I'm making some people mad right now, but my wife would say, tell the truth and shame the devil. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, like Brother Hagin used to always say, chew the hay, spit the sticks. Hey, man, I got a lot of hay and I got a few sticks. So spit the sticks. If you don't agree with me, it's okay. We don't have to necessarily agree on everything. Praise God. But we do need to speak the word. And we shouldn't lose friendship over an opinion unless the opinion is absolutely contrary to scripture, which what I'm saying is not. Praise the Lord. So the major signpost that we should be watching in Israel, and Jesus said, the generation that sees these things begin, the fig tree begins to blossom again. These things begin to come to pass. That generation will not pass away. Well, a generation can be anywhere from between 20 years and 120 years. Can't be more than 120, because we know from Genesis chapter 6, he said that my spirit will not always strive with man, but his days shall be numbered 120. So it can't be longer than 120. And so he's coming, and I don't believe it's going to be in 30, 40, 50 years. I believe it's, we're right on the cusp of it. So regardless whether you believe that or not, you need to walk in the spirit. You need to do what's necessary to qualify to be ready when Jesus comes. And that message today will tell you. I went through 10 qualifications to be ready for Jesus' return. So make sure you listen to that. It'll be a blessing to you. Thank you, Alice. It was great to hear from you tonight. Got another email here tonight from our friend Patty. Patty says, hi, Pastor. Once a person is saved and then backslides or shuns away from their faith and biblical teachings, are they still saved? Do they have to be saved again or just ask God for forgiveness? Thank you. So it really depends, Patty, where they're at. You can come to a place where you are so backslidden, it's as if Christ is no longer in your heart. You say, what? But he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Well, when you read the book of Galatians, you find out that the Galatians had become so backslidden that Paul said, I have to pray that Christ be formed again in your heart. Well, when you really study that out, you find out that when you get born again, your spirit is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and your spirit becomes brand new, a new creature, just like the Spirit of Christ. That's why he said in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So your spirit becomes just like that of Christ, which is a new species that never existed before, filled with the life of God. Well, if somebody walks and operates in death, what happens to their spirit? It dies. What does spiritual death mean? Separated from God. And the Bible says, what backslidden means, Patty and everyone listening, backslidden means that you have turned away from believing and you are no longer believing. Another way of saying you backslidden is that you have now become carnal. You're now following after the flesh and not following after the spirit. That's why the Bible says, walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But Galatians chapter 5 tells us that if you walk after the flesh, you will die. And he says that anyone who does these lists of the flesh, of the things of the flesh, fornication, homosexuality, adultery, murder, drunkenness, all these things, he said, this person will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he tells us in Romans chapter 8 also that to be carnally minded is death. There's no difference between being carnally minded and being a sinner. It's the same thing. So you can say, I believe in Jesus, but if you live carnal, then the Bible says you are dead. And so I taught a message years ago called being born again again. And that was me. I was born again when I was 10 years old, but I was 100% backslidden. I was into drugs, into all kinds of stuff. I had no fear of God. I just lived however I wanted to live. If I had died during that season, I would have gone to hell. And in 1993, I was in the middle of the woods up north in Michigan on a deer hunting trip. I'd never been hunting before in my life, sitting out in the middle of the woods by myself. Question came to my head, where would you go if you died right now? And I knew I was going to go to hell. I knew it, even though I had been born again at 10 years old, spoke in tongues at 10 years old. But I came to the place where I was totally backslidden and Christ was no longer formed in my spirit. And I had to get born again, again, praise God. And so if you're in a place where you have walked away from the, how would you know the difference? How would you know if you're backslidden or if you're just dead again? Conviction. If you're no longer convicted by the Holy Spirit, if you're operating in sin and your spirit is not convicted, you think it's okay to sin, you are in serious trouble. And so what do you need to do? You need to get born again. Praise God. Because if you're born again, 1 John tells us, he that is born of God does not sin. Now, the Amplified Bible is much more accurate, and it says, he that's born of God does not practice sin as a lifestyle. He can't, because the seed of God dwells inside him. And so when you sin as a believer, man, you're convicted. Now, I went through a period of 8 months where I was a backslider. Back in 2001, I was a backslider for 8 months, and I was convicted every day. I tried to sin. I tried to get back into the world, but man, I couldn't do it. And after 8 months, I said to the Lord, I called in sick to work. I said, I'm taking 3 days off. And I said to God, I sat on my couch, I pulled my Bible, dusted it off. And I said, God, I'm sick of screwing around. What do you want me to do? And in the midst of 6 hours of praying, I spent the next 3 days praying and fasting. But in the first 3 hours, man, God delivered me. He set me free. And then he spoke to me. He said, go to Bible school. And he said, submit to Word of Faith. Go Bishop Butler's to be your pastor. And I was there on Sunday of that week. I joined the church. I signed up for Bible school. And I continued to be a believing believer. Praise God. And so that's the difference. You don't need to always be, getting saved. If you're convicted, you don't need to get saved because the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of you. Praise God. Thank you, Patty, for that. Great question. Wow, we got a lot of emails. Hope you're praying for me, Gary. Got a lot of emails to get through
right now. Praying for you.
Ben. Hi, Ben. Pastor, should we prepare for the coming of Christ? What is the proper way? Get my message from today. I gave you 10 qualifications to be ready for the rapture. 10 qualifications to be ready. Get my message from today. Maybe somebody you let, or somebody could put a link for me up on Facebook. Stick the link up there. Maybe Minister Adrian is listening, and stick the link up there. But you can go to our website. It is Word of Faith Toronto, wordoffaithtoronto.com. And it'll say Stay Filled at the top. Click on Stay Filled, go down to live stream, and then it'll take you to today's message. You can listen to the whole thing or fast forward about an hour. And then my message is a little over an hour, and it's going to go through everything that you're asking right now. But do we need to prepare? Absolutely. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that's one of the major deceptions right now in the church, Ben, is that people think, well, if I'm saved by grace, then it's a gift from God and I don't need to do anything. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to do something. You need to walk by faith. And one of the most challenging things we can do is walk by faith. One of the most challenging things we can do is put the flesh under. In Acts chapter 14, we find that Paul, on his Acts 14, on his second missionary trip, he goes back to Lystra. And he goes there to he returns to Antioch in Syria, and he goes there to strengthen the faith of those of the believers in Antioch. And it says here in verse 22, he says, confirming the souls of the disciples, probably where the Catholics got confirmation from, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. To do what? Continue in the faith. Being prepared, preparing for the coming of Christ means you continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The word tribulation here is the word thlipsis in the Greek, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S, thlipsis, and it means pressure, that there is pressure. The enemy is going to try to pressure you away from the things of God and get you to go back into sin. If you go back into sin, then you are not prepared for the coming of the Lord. We find another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, and it says, it is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What does it mean to be dead with him? It means that the things of this world do not stir up the sin back in your life. Dead man walking. So if you're dead, that means that you are not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh and allow sin to rule in your life, because we are not under sin. We are under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Praise God. And he says here, if we suffer how? Suffer to the flesh, suffer to denying the flesh. We shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. So absolutely, we need to prepare and check out the 10 qualifications for the rapture from today's message. Also, my friends, you can, if you don't want to listen to the message, you can download my notes. All of my notes are on the website. Go to wordoffaithtoronto.com, scroll down to where it says Pastor's Notes, and you'll see the first PDF is my message from today. 9 pages, all my notes are there. I pretty much, if you read my notes, you'll get the gist of it, although I encourage you to listen to the message as well. Thanks for that, Ben. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Claudette. Why did God choose Mary? I think we have more questions tonight than we've ever had, Gary.
Well, I know I'm forwarding them quite quickly.
I'm telling you. Why did God choose Mary to be Jesus's biological mother on earth? There had to be other virgins that were holy, godly, righteous, and women correct. Yeah, there. I'm sure there were. Why did God choose her exactly? I don't know. Except for one thing for sure is that Mary was a woman who was a woman of faith and a woman of humility and a woman who was quick to receive the word of the Lord. And she didn't even understand some things. And yet she said, be it unto thy handmaiden, be your will be done in my life. And even when Jesus was older, Mary said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. She was a woman of faith and she was quick of obedience. And you and I should be like Mary. Mary is an amazing saint. And if you're born again, you're also a saint. You don't need to be canonized by the Catholic Church to be a saint. You just need to be born again. Scripture tells, Carl. Carl writes and says, you are so right. The internet is garbage when touting this stuff to people, especially young people. Love you. Love your honesty as a pastor. Thank you. Thanks, Carl. God bless you. We call you blessed tonight. Got another email here tonight from Sharon. Hey, Pastor, once in a while, I like to hit the casinos and do a bit of gambling. I never gamble more than $50 a month. I do it for enjoyment and thrill of possibly winning something. It has not affected my family, my financial situation. However, is it a sin? Is there anything in the Bible regarding it? Thank you very much for your answer. Yeah, there is in the Bible about not gambling. However, it's not real crystal clear. What is crystal clear is he that knows to do good and doesn't, to him it is sin. And so the Bible tells us, and I quoted it a little while ago, Sharon, in Philippians chapter 2, that each of us have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I am not Holy Ghost Junior. I'm not your judge, and I'm not the one to tell you whether something is a sin. That's God. And so you need to follow God. Don't listen to other people that are not pointing you to the word of God. Listen to the Holy Ghost. That's why he tells us in 1 John 2:20 that you have an unction from the Holy One, and you need not that any man teach you, but the anointing will teach you all things. Thanks, Sharon. God bless you. We call you blessed. I don't think I'm going to get through all these emails. Jennifer says, hello, what is meant by fellowship with God? That's a great question. Koinonia is the Greek word fellowship. Is that like saying a relationship with God? And what about a relationship or fellowship with Jesus? Is that God as well? I am confused if I should talk or pray to God or Jesus. Jennifer, that's an awesome question. And I've got several others that want
you
questions.
You can go for it, Pastor, if you want. You can go for it if you'd like.
I want to honor you, and you've got another radio show coming up. So what we'll do is I really encourage everyone on tonight to come back next week. And after about 15 minutes of the show, I will answer your questions directly. So please come back next Sunday. We have like 10 here left, and I'll get to them next Sunday in Jesus' name. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is on your side. He's exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. We love you so much. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.